of the 20th century in the United States was Paul Robeson. And he was someone who spoke truth to power in the way Howard Zinn does, and Anthony Arnov, and all these people in Twilight of Empire, and all these ordinary Americans throughout the history of the United States, and voices of a people's history of the United States do. Paul Robeson, because when he would go overseas and perform, spoke about U.S. foreign policy and about, you know, the tyrannical aspect of U.S. foreign policy. So the next time he came home, they had his passport taken away. He was not allowed to travel. And he talked about being a member of the U.S. resistance movement in the same sense that, you know, there were some in France who were part of the resistance movement against the Nazis. When he equated the two things, people were scandalized.
But, well, you know, we have to wrap up now, but from Paul Robeson to Viggo Mortensen, we hope we can continue the conversation. Viggo Mortensen is a world-renowned actor, editor of Perceval Press, which just reissued the 2003 book Twilight of Empire, Responses to Occupation. He will be tonight performing in a reading of Voices of People's History of the United States at the atrium at Lincoln Center. And tomorrow night, Friday night at 7, we'll be together at Jackson McNally Books, McNally Jackson Books. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with our host, Joanne Hardesty. Today's guest is Colleen Swenson, one of the chief petitioners for the Portland Community Equality Act, which would amend the city charter to eliminate Portland's commission form of government, concentrating executive powers while ensuring district representation.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Cascade Media Convergence, a regional gathering of community-based media makers sharing space and skills to build solidarity on November 14th and 15th on the Portland State University campus. There will be skill shares, issue-based strategy sessions, regional breakouts and workshops, as well as movie screenings and a keynote presentation, editors of Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. Again, that's the Cascade Media Convergence, November 14th and 15th, on the Portland State University campus in downtown Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, a series sponsored by Northwest Film Center. October 2nd through November 5th are the dates. While cinema provides entertainment and escape for many committed filmmakers and viewers, it's a vital medium of engagement and a powerful tool for social action. Films in the series include 50 Feet from Syria, Dreamcatcher, No Land's Song, and We Come as Friends. Again, that's Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, from October 2nd to November 5th at the Northwest Film Center in the Whitzel Auditorium of the Portland Art Museum, located at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue here in Portland. More information about films and screening times can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of a dance party benefit for Safer Streets on Saturday, November 7th at 9 p.m. at Crush in Portland. Safer Streets offers free self-defense classes in various easily accessible locations for women in the Portland metro area who are experiencing homelessness, poverty, mental health or addiction issues, for sex workers, and for survivors of violence or abuse. Safer Streets is queer and trans friendly and welcomes and meets attendees at their particular needs or abilities. That's a dance party with DJ Aurora to benefit Safer Streets, Saturday, November 7th, 9 p.m. at Crush, 1400 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Milagro Theater, presenting La Muerte Bela, Milagro's 20th annual Day of the Dead production, playing through November 8th. Tickets at milagro.org.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. It is my pleasure to have in the studio once again Colleen Swanson, who is one of the chief petitioners on the Equity Act that is being circulated now for signatures. Welcome to the KABU studio.
Thank you, Joanne.
It's a pleasure to have you back here. And so the clock has started. When are you required to turn in your signatures, and how many must you turn in?
Early July 2016.
Okay, so you had a little while.
Yeah, a little bit over 32,000 signatures. We're going to shoot for 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they'll reject signatures, as usual. People move, change.
Yes, yes. And I would actually shoot for 50 if I were you, because you just never know what the rejection rate is.
Lovely.
And so exciting times. And so you are one of the chief petitioners. Why don't you tell our listening audience why we need this ballot measure?
Well, what this ballot measure does is it returns the power back to the people. It makes representatives represent people. Not departments of the city or the city itself. They represent people instead. So
currently we have a 5-member Portland City Council.
Right.
We have a mayor and we have 4 city council members.
Correct.
Under your proposed initiative, how would that change?
Well, it separates the powers. So it changes it to an administrative and judicial branch, representation branch. So the mayor would be an administrative branch. He would no longer participate in council. He would run the city administratively and have more attention to run the city and not be split between two different roles. He would no longer be the boss of the council, have the assign departments to the council. You guys call them bureaus. I'm not used to that. And then the council would be representatives. They would represent people. They would change the laws of the city for the people. They would try to solve problems before they become problems. They would have more time to talk to people, actually ask what their needs and wants are, and to change things before they become things where you go to council to scream at them.
So let's kind of, I want to lay it out before I see we have some callers already lined up, but I want to make sure that people have kind of the basics before we open it up for phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And so we currently have a 5-member city council, and so we would go from 5 city council members to a mayor.
Right.
And 8, and how many?
9. So you'd have 7 that are district and 2 at large.
Okay. So we would have a 9-member city council.
Correct.
That would include the mayor, 2 at large.
No mayor.
The mayor
has nothing to do with council anymore.
With the council.
He's an administrator.
Okay.
That's how you separate the powers.
Okay. So
just like you separate the powers at the federal level.
Right.
There's a president,
right.
Then there's Congress and the Senate.
Right.
They are separate. They don't do the same jobs.
So the mayor would no longer have a vote on the city
council.
That
is correct.
And so it would just be the city council people who would vote on the issues.
Exactly.
Ah, okay. Well, I didn't get that from reading
right.
the initiative. So see, that's why I'm
right.
asking these questions. Okay, this is good. Okay, and so at the district elected council representatives would have offices in the districts that they were elected in.
Right. 7.
So there would be 7 mini council offices in the district that people
right.
elected them from.
Right. So that they can access their council member easier.
What a novel idea. So they
right.
would be in the community
right.
That they are elected from.
That they serve, yes.
That they serve. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the budget process and ordinances and that whole governance structure pretty much doesn't change with the exception of the mayor's role.
Right. The council will still do all that. The mayor would write the budget, but the council would actually vote on the budget. Mm-hmm. So it's a separation again. The mayor says, I need this. And the council says, well, actually, you need this. And maybe you need this too, or maybe you don't need this. So the council has control over the budget, just like Congress has control over the budget, not the president.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I have a better understanding of the concept. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Yes, Joanne?
Yes, ma'am.
It's happening to me now like in World War II, the Nazis went after this group and that group. Well, here's what's happened to me in my housing. I told some of the residents in my building who do the 24-hour spying on us, and I told them to stop it, and I have a notice of possible eviction.
No.
I know, Joanne, you have your agenda. Your reparations and justice for black people are respected. But you programmers on cable have abandoned people like me. But anyway, thank you, Joanne.
Joanne, give Steve your number. I guess she hung up. She said she got a eviction notice placed on her door. I'd love to help follow up with her on that. Joanne, if you're listening, give us a call back, and Steve will take your number. We'd love to follow up on your distress. But anyway, back to the program. So this is a voluntary effort. This is being led by people who you're not a politician.
I'm not.
You're not. You wouldn't even consider yourself like a grassroots activist, would you?
Not really.
No.
No.
Why? Yeah.
Okay. Well, like most people, I care about my neighbors. Mm-hmm. And my neighbors had some problems. Mm. And we invited the mayor because at the time, Amanda Fritz's husband had just died. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't going to approach her because she was busy with personal issues.
Right.
So we approached the mayor and we asked him to come to some meetings. And he did not. Not only that, but nobody came. Mm. Not one person from the mayor's office or any other council member or anyone.
Right.
And when other council members heard about it, they said, well, you emailed the mayor. It's okay. We don't need to attend to that either. Mm. So basically, we had 5 squatter drug houses in our neighborhood within 2 square blocks. And it was an issue during the downturn, as everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Most neighborhoods have had them.
Right.
And it's kind of important. It's kind of like Detroit back in the 80s. It was like watching Detroit in the 80s. I was like, I can't believe in this day and age that you can't get representatives to come and help you with an issue in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And so since help didn't come, we kind of handled it on our own. We muddled through the go to this department, go to that department, go get help there, go get the help there, take pictures, feed us pictures, be, you know, play policeman, you know, do all the work.
And then give us the evidence, and then we'll go.
Well, and maybe they'll do something about it. Sometimes you give them all the evidence, like I took videotape, I, you know, saw it with my own 2 eyes, I gave them the little card, and I said, I'll testify, and they let them go. So it was fascinating to me, the whole process. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, the common thing, or I'm not really trying to say somebody didn't do their job or anything like that. I just don't think that's my job.
Nor did it feel like you were represented. That
exactly.
You had called your elected representative.
Exactly.
You've got a neighborhood problem.
Exactly.
Advice. Give me help. Advise me, right? How
exactly.
To fix it.
So I come from a place where there's representation, and you call and they say, okay, what's your problem? Let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of walk you through it, and it actually gets solved.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to a place where that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was floored by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to look at, why does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the only one. And it may not be, you know, you have a drug house, you have this going on. You may have a different neighborhood problem. Right. And there are plenty of them. I've heard from many, many neighborhoods all over the city.
Right.
We are not the only ones. We're not just talking about far out east. Mm-hmm. I've heard from people in the west, people mm-hmm. in the north, people in the south. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what neighborhood. When you're not in the core, you're not connected, they don't feel represented.
But, I mean, you do raise a unique point. I mean, clearly those of us who live in East Portland doesn't feel like we have any representation at all.
That's
on
the
true. Portland City Council.
That is true.
And
cut
clearly,
down my tree, they're not showing up for my tree.
Right. Hello, right? And so that's been an ongoing issue. I mean, mm-hmm. Randy Leonard was the only commissioner that actually lived beyond 82nd Avenue, right?
Sure.
And since he is no longer in office, we no longer have that that issue. I'm sorry. No, we do have the issue. We just
right.
don't have anybody who represents us that
right.
lives beyond 82nd.
Right.
And so it comes to the question, well, why is that?
Right.
Why is it that no one gets elected east of 82nd Avenue?
It's expensive. It's expensive. It's expensive to do anything politically here. And my eyes pop when people go, oh, you want signatures? It's $18,000. It's like,
right.
I would love for people to go, oh my God, you're going to give us representation. You're going to give us power. Let me sign that. And I've had people with children drop their children and go, oh yes. And then I've had other people go, oh no, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel represented. I'm really? You feel represented? So I'd like to know where they live because I want to live in their neighborhood.
Well, maybe they're the ones that are in those $750,000 condos that are going up.
Yeah.
503-231-8187. I'm talking to Colleen about the Equity Act, which we hope will be on the November 2016 ballot. The plan is to collect around 50,000 signatures between now and I believe July 2nd is the deadline, but it's normally very early in July that deadline takes place. One question is, who are the winners and losers in a proposal like the one that's on that you are working on?
I don't think there's any losers. I really don't. You still have a mayor. He has a different focus as far as he doesn't do council anymore, but that makes it easier for him to do his job because now he has all
or
the time in the world. Or she, yes, you're right. It makes them, thank you,
you're welcome.
Able to focus on their job and not be split between two different roles,
right.
And actually three because you're a boss, you're a council member, and you're an administrator.
Right.
That's very difficult to split your... Everyone's a winner. I mean, same thing with council. They have to represent people, which they don't do well because they don't have time, because they're running departments and because they're answering to the mayor, and they just don't have time the way it's set up to represent people.
So the under this new council proposal, the mayor becomes the executive,
right.
That basically is supervising the department heads,
right.
So then
right.
I get it. So then the
runs
other
city,
the other council members mm-hmm. are not involved in the day-to-day operations.
They
of
are
those.
Not because that's part of the separation. When you write a budget for a department, and you don't want to see they talk about turf wars and strong
right.
mayors, and turf wars and strong mayors happen right now.
Right.
So they no longer have to worry about how they budget because they're no longer in charge of those departments. So that big fight you see over do we do roads or do
right.
we do parks is gone. Because they don't have a vested interest in those departments that way anymore. Now they have a vested interest in the city as a whole and representing people and their constituents. So they're listening to their constituents and what they need, not what they need to run a department and be successful and not moved around by the mayor who doesn't like the way they did their job.
So how does this play out? I live in East Portland. I go to my East Portland City Council elected council member. I say, you know, I've got drug houses on my block. Mm-hmm. I need to get these houses closed. My city council member is then supposed to go and figure out how to provide assistance.
In a way, Yes. So that's all part of policy and legislation. So when you have a city, many cities out there during the downturn had people register their houses, their mm-hmm. empty houses, and right. banks and loan companies, and they made them take care of their houses. Mm-hmm. Or they fined them. Or like in places like Detroit, where they actually bulldozed the houses. When you didn't take care of them, they became a blight on the city, and they were dangerous to the inhabitants of the city because you didn't care. Mm-hmm. So they had systems in place. So Portland didn't have that. Portland had the problem, mm-hmm. saw the problem, and many, many neighbors had the problem, saw the problem. They came to the city, said, what do we do? Mm-hmm. And the answer was, we're working on it. Hmm. Throughout the Adams
administration
mm-hmm. throughout the Hales administration, and still to this day, it's not fixed. And still to this day, when you go on to nextdoor.com, you see people talking about the squatter houses in their neighborhoods and the drug activity and the crime, and their houses are being robbed, their cars are being robbed. It's not a solved issue. Mm-hmm. And we may never solve it. Right. I'm not saying it will solve it.
Right.
What I'm saying is you'll have someone to go to talk about it, and maybe they can make some policies for those things. Right now we have nothing.
Well, I mean, I do think that I think this is a really creative idea. I think that our current form of government and how the city council operates doesn't work for most people who live and work and worship within the city of Portland. Right. Most people can't take off at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday and go down to the city council.
That's right.
For their, for your 2 minutes to be able to address the council. Most people have never interacted with their elected leaders. I certainly know I'm always surprised when one of the city council makes it out to East Portland where I live. Mm-hmm. And normally it's only because it's a meeting that they already know is going to have about 50 people or more, right. And it's an election year, so that's right. That tends to actually bring out the elected officials. And so I do think that we should be looking at trying to make the city council more responsive to the people in the community. Clearly, what normally happens is downtown business interests thinks that they get to pick the leadership for the city of Portland, because that's where the money comes from for the people who actually run and serve in office. And so I suspect under this proposal, it would reduce the cost of elections because you're running district-wide as compared to citywide, which is a huge barrier for most people who aren't connected to moneyed interests to be able to do.
That's correct. So now you have a district of 75,000 people, mm. as opposed to running citywide, which is 600,000 constituents. Mm-hmm. And you need a large part of that vote to be voted in.
Right.
So when you go smaller, not only does it do well for making it cheaper and having more representation, now you're electing someone who's your neighbor. They live in your area.
Yes, yes.
So you know that person in some way, shape, or form. You right. can touch them, feel them. Hi, how are you? You can hunt them down in the grocery store and say, hey, you're not doing your job.
Right.
You can also get them out of office easier, mm-hmm. which is something that Hales brought up the last time this came up for election.
Right.
He stated that he can afford to piss off a couple of neighborhoods mm. and still survive his political career, survive mm. and be reelected because he's at large. And he knows that. Mm-hmm. When you're at large, it takes a larger amount of people to be angry at you to take you out of office.
Right. Because look at how many recalls there was for Sam and then for other folks. Right.
Exactly. But the mayor would still be at large. He would still be difficult to take out. But if you have a bunch of council members that are going, wait a second, this guy's off, and it's district elections, it's a whole different ballgame because we listen to district representations because we elected them out of our neighborhoods and they have our best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say they don't have the best interests of the whole city at heart, because there's plenty of neglected areas in the city
right.
because of the shared city spend, which says they spend the most money where the most downtown residents the most daytime employees and the most daytime residents in the day. So it's a city policy that spends a portion of everyone's taxes mm-hmm. on that area of the city where they have the most daytime employees and the most daytime residents.
And so, of course, that would be downtown and Lloyd Center.
Right.
Right.
Right. So then what happens to the outskirts?
Right.
If you're waiting for your turn for those pretty sidewalks or that you know, streetcar or the tram or whatever it is that you're looking for, maybe just some sidewalks and a paved street.
Yeah, right.
It's not coming.
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, you raise a really good point, because I do wonder about whether or not having this new form of a city council would actually help us solve some of these systemic issues. For example, all the fixes for affordable housing leave East Portland totally out, as if we don't have a need for affordable housing. We just announced this new $67 million, but it's all in areas that already are resource rich. Mm-hmm. Based on based on where they are, like the interstate renewal area, mm-hmm. right? So they're all in renewal districts, mm-hmm. And so East Portland once again, and it's like, well, how do you ever catch up, mm-hmm. if you're never even at the starting gate, which is where our community ends up.
We need to really seriously worry about that, because I'm in East Portland and I'm beyond the 205 freeway, and the house next door to me just went for 364.
Whoa.
It's unheard of.
Whoa.
If you're worried about affordable housing, it's a big deal, because that is spreading.
Yes, yes.
Where you have 500,000, 700,000, and 900,000 houses on the inside, that it is not sustainable.
Right.
It wasn't sustainable in California. It's not sustainable in Chicago. It's not sustainable in New York. And those people are moving, and they're selling at those rates in those states, and they're moving here. Right. And a half a million isn't a big deal to them.
Right.
You need to worry.
Yes.
Because there is a urban growth boundary.
Yes.
And you will run out of housing. It just depends on what kind of housing we're going to do. And we as community members have no say in how that's done. They have committees, but how long is that process?
Well, and
where were we planning this? We need to plan ahead of these things. We're being run over by the train after the facts. So we're reactionary right now.
We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Rebel. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a comment, a congratulations, and a warning.
Okay, which one first?
I'm going to do it in that order.
All right.
The comment is basically, you know, city halls, as we know, are pretty much vacant across the country. People are not engaged.
Right.
The reason why they're not engaged is because, you know, something that struck me about your conversation is the system's really designed to not get things done for the people. It's designed to get things done for the corporations. And, you know, so this is a really excellent initiative, and that's where I move into the congratulations. Thank you for doing this, even though you're not an activist. You know, it's really a creative initiative, and I think it really is a good way to get people involved with the government. And one of the things that they really, you know, push on us as activists and people that are trying to affect change is that we just don't have the numbers.
Right.
Well, I say we turn it around on them, basically, and say, you know what, you need to get the numbers. You need to get people engaged. The reason why people aren't engaged is because they're disenfranchised and they do not believe in the system. And that is the problem. Not that we don't have numbers to make change. There's plenty of people. Most people want the change. They just don't know how to do it.
Right.
So thank you.
Thank you. Very good points. Appreciate your call. 503.
Wait, the warning.
We listen.
Sorry,
to warnings.
Sorry, forgot.
Warnings are important.
Just real quick, the warning basically is that, you know, for the person that did this and all the people that are involved in pushing this forward, you may not be an activist now, but the way they attack you, the things that you're going to go up against moving this forward, will quickly make you an activist. So I just want to warn you to know that that's coming. Mm-hmm. There will be attacks. There will be things to try and bury this. And, you know, just let you know. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very, very good points all. And he's absolutely right. I like the warning, right? Because mm-hmm. it's true. I mean, when you know, take on transforming a form of government, some people who the system works fine for aren't going to be happy about that. And so people who are interested in getting more information about the initiative, that want to sign it, that want to help you collect signatures, how do you suggest they connect with you?
We have a website.
Okay.
It's PortlandCommunityEqualityAct.com. That's the name of the initiative. It's called Portland Community Equality Act. And there is a .com. It is a website. We also have a Facebook page under the same name.
Okay.
Anyone can go to the city auditor's office and pull up the initiative. And my phone number is everywhere. If you Google Colleen Swenson, spelled C-O-L-L-E-N-E, S-W-E-N-S-O-N, you can actually call me. Strangely enough, anyone who Googles my name can find
me. Can find you,
Many people. I get many, many people calling me all the time. And I actually pick up the phone and talk to people.
Wonderful. And so has the... have the calls been encouraging? Have people been supportive?
Extremely encouraging. There have been a couple where they, in the very beginning, we made some missteps and some mistakes, and a lot of community members came up to help us correct those. That's why it was submitted 5 times. Because we pulled it many times, and we stopped committing the same errors as the last time. So, and it was important. The things that people had to say about it, where it didn't truly separate the powers, or, you know, the mayor had veto power, that was a problem. Because you have elected representatives representing you, and now you're going to tell one guy who's still at large that he can veto all the people's wishes. That's not a good idea. It's a waste of time. And it takes a lot of energy away from council to override the veto. It's a dumb thing. And they were right. So we listened to a lot of the things and the criticisms about the way things were set up back in the day and how they didn't work. And this is why. And we changed those things because of it.
Well, I think it's exciting, and I think it's a great opportunity. As most people know, the majority of the city council is up for re-election. The mayor has said he's not running for re-election. So there are two potential city council members who may still be running for re-election. We'll definitely have a new mayor after the 2016 election cycle. And I like how this initiative starts putting pieces in place pretty much January of 2017 in preparation for the 2018 elections, which then would elect the district council representatives who would then take office in 2019.
Yeah, the election cycle, it's a very long process to change a council.
Yes.
It's a very long process to change your government. The last time it was done during a special election, and that was because it shortened the process. So we all wondered why they did it during a special election, because during special elections, you don't have a very good turnout.
Right.
But it shortened the process. So I understood that they thought that the city was going in the wrong direction. They wanted to correct it faster. It is very difficult to turn a government in a different direction. We all know that when you go to a bureaucracy and you say you want change, it takes a little while. And that's the whole point. We did it during a general election only because we wanted the voter turnout. We want people to say yes or no. Do you want your rights? Do you not want your rights? We want broad turnout. We want broad support. If you really don't want your rights and you don't want direct representation, by all means, show up for the general election. Everybody shows up for the general election. That's that's our prime reason for doing it in that election only.
Well, and especially in an election, presidential election.
Exactly, because everybody shows up for that,
Well,
we hope.
Yeah,
well, and in this one, if we can get it on the ballot, you know, East Portland's going to show up, right? And when you talk about, let's talk about East Portland. That's everything past the Willamette River on the east, including the north. And I'm telling you, some of the outskirts of the northwest are going to show up too, because I've heard lots from them. And some of the core of the northwest will show up too, because I've heard lots from them. I mean, we're really not alone. Even in the core, they feel neglected, which is strange.
Well, but of course, I mean, it's the work of getting it on the ballot. ballot, mm-hmm. and then it's the work of having a conversation with the public, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
So,
not screaming.
It's a slow process, but I think the more people have an opportunity to read the initiative, because I'm certainly one of those people that I'm not signing anything that I haven't read.
Absolutely.
And so a 20-page initiative, if you walk up to somebody and say, mm-hmm. would you sign this? You know,
right.
Hopefully, though, that you have maybe a short cheat sheet that, you know, that
right.
you're giving to people mm-hmm. that highlights the changes that are taking place, because
right.
that will help people get a sense for what it is.
Excellent idea.
Because, as you know, signature gatherers have not always been honest and forthright in Oregon, right? And so many times they tell people one thing, and actually what they're collecting signatures mm-hmm. for is actually just the opposite of what they're telling people.
So let's do some education there.
Okay.
It's easy, because in the state of Oregon, people who collect signatures must carry a complete copy of the act,
yes.
the initiative.
Right.
A complete copy.
That's right.
They must carry the signature sheet, and
right.
on the back of the signature sheet is the summary written by the legislative branch. In this case, it would be the city attorney. There's a summary of what it does. You may not understand the summary as much as you understand the act.
Hmm.
And by all means, all of us carry the act. And some of us carry extras, like me. I carry lots of extras, and I hand them out because I want you to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really super important
right.
to know what we're doing.
So hear me. I'm mm-hmm. not saying that yeah. your particular initiative.
Right.
But
I've heard that.
But, you yeah. know, this has been a lot of the public's
experience.
I
was surprised.
Right?
Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
I am actually one of those people that whenever anybody has an initiative, I stop to listen to the rap because I want to know if they know what they're talking about, right?
Right.
And 9 out of 10 times they don't.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so that's part of the challenge when you're doing a voluntary effort and you're trying to get people to sign outside of a grocery store while they're running their errands
sure.
or outside the laundromat or wherever. By the way, what's coming up this morning on Naboo at 9, Teresa Mitchell will return for Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. Yay! At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Pear follows up on his show last week and talks about some more about banks and debt and how much debt we really have. At 10 is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, we hear about a major protest planned this weekend against Donald Trump and NBC. Oh, yeah, because he's going to be on Saturday Night Live. Outside the building where Saturday Night Live is produced. Also, a look at domestic workers fighting for rights in California. And what comes next in the battle for immigration rights? Immigrant rights. Thank you, KBOO members, for your financial support. Thank you for becoming members. Thank you for keeping us on the air. If you haven't become a member yet, go to kboo.fm and click the tip jar. If you want to join the conversation, I am talking to Colleen Swanson. We are talking about Portland's Community Equality Act that we are now gathering. Notice how I say we, like,
yeah.
you know, we're in this
right.
together, right?
We are. It is. It's for
we
everybody.
Are gathering,
we are in this together.
We are
together.
Gathering signatures for the November 2016 election cycle. The initiative would create district representation. It would make the mayor the administrator of the
city,
and it would create 2 at-large city council positions. Would maintain 2 at-large city council positions and create 5 district positions.
Seven
district positions.
9 altogether.
I'll get all those numbers
yep.
figured out
yep.
soon. And my understanding from reading the initiative is that there will be space available for the at-large commission members when they need to be downtown. So there will be a accessible space for them to be able to utilize, but their offices will be in the district that they were elected from, which I love. I love that idea. I also, it just makes me wonder, that means that maybe city council meetings don't necessarily have to happen downtown
strangely
in that
enough,
particular building.
Strangely enough, that would be true.
Uh-huh.
They don't have to. I mean, why would they have to in this day and age?
Right.
You have telecommuters. You have all kinds of ways to do different things. And a lot of people, well, we don't want to go over here. We don't want to go over there. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? You know?
So this is exciting news. So you're starting to collect signatures, and you've given people the info. I will certainly post that info as well on my Facebook page. Excellent. And on my Facebook page for Voices from the Edge, so people will know how to connect with that. I think one of the challenges is to get in front of enough people to actually have the conversation.
That's correct.
And I think once you ask people, well, do you think you're well represented? I mean, that would be my question, right? That would be where I'd start. Do you think you're well represented by our current city council?
That's an excellent thing. And that's what most people don't even know here, the way the government runs. Yeah. Most people don't know that this is an at-large system. A lot of them came from places that had district representation, and they've moved here and they're shocked. Mm. They just don't know. They don't have the time to check it out, mm-hmm. until they have a problem. And when they have the problem, it's too late, and they're busy swimming, trying to get upstream. And this just changes everything for people.
So, Colleen says this changes everything. Does it? If it does, give us a call. Tell us what you think. We want to get your input on this. 503-231-8187. I want to compliment your improvements in this initiative, because certainly I remember the very first time we sat down and talked about it, there were some problems with it, and you were very straightforward and said, yes, there are problems with it. Yes, we're working on those. Right. To the point where you decided, well, no, we're going to pull that one back and we're going to start over.
Right. And that was because of public input. Uh-huh. Again, you know, every time someone reached out and actually reached us and started talking to us, you know, they had valid points. Mm-hmm. And we were listening to those valid points. We were listening. There were some compromises. There was one compromise some people still don't agree with, and that's fine.
Right.
They don't like the 6 of the 9 vote for legislation, but there, we didn't touch quorum, and a lot of people don't know that. Quorum is a different part of the charter.
Mm-hmm.
So in any meeting of council, whether it be 5 of the 9 and 4 of the 9, there's still quorum. There's still a majority rules.
Right.
It's when legislation comes up that the 6 to 9 forces attendance, and it makes it so that people are actually participating. You can't say you didn't know about the legislation because you're going to be there. Because to do a 6 of a 9 vote takes a lot of attendance.
Right.
They can still say, hey, you know, we're going to, on other issues, they can still say, hey, the president can say, hey, we're going to adjourn this meeting. We don't have enough people for this particular matter. So that's another thing that came up during the whole thing. But they didn't understand that we didn't touch quorum. It still exists. It's a different part of the charter. We wouldn't touch that. There's no reason to.
And so does that, have you changed kind of how the city council meetings operate?
No, right now you have a 3-5 vote, which is a pretty high bar, and they do it every time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not much of a, it's not a higher bar at all, because now you're going from 5 to 9.
Right.
So a 6-9 vote isn't that big.
No.
And you can change that later if you really need to. If mm-hmm. our district representatives say, hey, we don't like that,
right,
it's too high of a bar,
right,
then by all means, they can put it up.
Right.
For a legislation change, for a charter change themselves. You know, a lot of people don't have a lot of faith in politicians.
Right.
I'm sorry. I may be naive, but I still have faith in people. I have faith in district representation. I have faith that when people come from our neighborhoods and we elect them directly, that they're going to want to do the best for the people.
Mm.
I think they will work it out like we do every day in our normal jobs out in the world. I have a normal job. We make decisions all the time, and majority rules there. And sometimes we have to have very big majority rules because we work for corporations, which are just as hard to move as government. And
right.
There's always consequences to change, especially large change. So you want people to really show up and agree on the change.
So we've got callers stacked up, so we're going to go back to the phone mm-hmm. line. But I have a question for you that I will come back to. Tim? Good morning, Tim. Welcome to KBOO. Hello? Ted?
Yes, that's me. Hi. I think this is a terrific idea. I've been trying to figure out how to do this. I'm so glad that Colleen has figured out. I like the mix of at-large and local representation, which we don't have now. I think it's just fabulous. So I'm certainly going to find out how to sign this.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I have a question. What other cities of our size have the kind of government that we have here? Is there anyone else?
No.
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 No. The at-large system was started to go away in most large cities. Any city that goes over 500,000 usually goes away from the at-large because the population is too big to represent at that time. That started in the 60s, and most cities, as they grow, will go away voluntarily from this system because it's not a good way to represent people.
Well, that's great. So your proposal is not a wild thing. That's
absolutely not.
Out from we're weird, but we're in the wrong place right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fabulous. I was wondering. I'm active in my neighborhood association, and I'm hoping that we could get you to come and maybe get a few signatures.
Absolutely.
Sometime during the year. So we'll try to contact you.
Wonderful.
Please do.
Thank you very much.
And you could leave your contact if you'd like with Steve, and he'd be happy to pass it on to Colleen, and
sure.
We can save you a some keystrokes.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Day.
Bye.
Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, John. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi. Thank you very much for the program, and your guest doesn't call herself an activist. I say you are a great activist, and we need good people like yourself for change to protect us from all this gentrification and big money.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And what parts of town are the signature gatherers?
Well,
where are they at?
We've been doing signature drives. We've done one in the West and many in the East. We need people to reach out to us and tell us where they want a signature drive. If you reach out to us and tell us where you want a signature drive, we will come to you. And the same as the last gentleman was talking about, he's part of a neighborhood association. He wants to gather signatures. Anyone who wants to volunteer to gather signatures, because this is a volunteer initiative, by all means, contact us. We're going to help you do that. I mean, if 10 people get 10, one person gets 10 people to sign, and that one person hands them off to 10 people to get 10 people to sign, this is a no-brainer. It'll happen pretty quick. We need help. But yeah, if you reach out to us and say, hey, we want you to come here, we will show up with our little tent, even in the rain, with our little, you know, board sign that says, here we are, come and sign this, and we will take signatures from you.
Sounds great. Would you mind giving your phone number on air? Because I'm an old guy, and I have real quick.
How about I let you give Steve your phone number, and we'll pass it on to Colleen.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank
Excellent.
You so much for your
Thank
call.
You very much, and, keep up the wonderful work, and please join KBOO.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Appreciate the call. So clearly there's some excitement. And as you said, you will go where people want. At some point, I mean, I hope that at some point you will put together a campaign so that this doesn't consume your life and become the only thing that you're able to do for the next year. Because I know how much work you're about to get involved in.
Right. We actually had people approach us and volunteer to be our campaign people. That's mm-hmm. already in the works.
Oh, good.
Right now they're volunteering because we are volunteering. Mm-hmm. We are poor. We're from the East. We don't have big money. So hopefully one day people will donate and they'll be paid and not volunteers. This is what they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
We'll see what happens with that.
Well, that helps because I know this is a huge undertaking. Back to the phone line. Hello, Sean. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. So, listen, it's just a real quick comment and something maybe people might want to read. It's connected, but it's not. And it's simply that I don't know if you read yesterday's Oregonian, which otherwise is a pretty miserable newspaper.
No, I don't normally read it anymore.
Right. But there is a decent article in there that has to do with interviewing David Bragdon. And, of course, David Bragdon at one time was part of Metro.
Right.
And he now runs, he went back east, and now he's back here, but he runs a nonprofit now. But specifically, it had to do with the comments that have been made a few times offhand, of course, about how incredibly hard it is to change government.
Mm-hmm.
And that is specifically what he talks about now, coming from the standpoint of now running a nonprofit. But it specifically more had to do with ODOT and the incredible amount of mismanagement and confusion, how monies are spent, given mostly over to ODOT, that have to do with the county and other districts that ODOT should not really have a say in. And it has to do with a hell of a lot of money, like $200 million that was spent of the people's money over Columbia Crossing, which, of course, never got built.
Oh, yes, yes,
you know, I mean,
yes.
We're talking, just think of the amount, that amount of money, what it could have done.
Yes.
Test pilings, right? Yeah, we know about those.
So, I mean, that's just really a microcosm of mm-hmm. what happens in just about in every state and every government.
True.
Of the amount of waste that goes on because people don't really have a true say,
right,
and know what's really going on. So it really was, it is a good article, and it kind of relates to the very great thing that you're doing, and people's participation is the most important thing.
Yes.
And that's what he really talks about. I was going to say, it's almost might be worth contacting him because he does have the experience of having been in, but now he's out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing the incredible waste and mismanagement and confusion that goes on in the bureaucracy of government. So,
well, anyway. Thank you. Did you give us the title?
You know, I'm sorry, I don't have the title of it, but it is in the front page.
Oh, it's at the Oregonian.
It specifically is interviewing, it's just an article about ODOT, and okay. It specifically is interviewing David Bragdon about it.
Well, thank you. I will actually go online and look for that article.
Yeah, Steve Dean did a great article, too. So.
Okay.
But anyway, thanks for doing what you're doing, and keep on KBOO.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so, once again, the website is Portland Community Equity Act.com.
Correct.
So for more information, that would be the ideal direct route to go.
Correct.
To review the initiative, to download a signature form.
There is supposed to be that. They are supposed to be loaded there. I haven't looked lately.
Okay.
I will put a fire under people.
All right, right.
The packet's not there.
Tell them we said on the radio this morning it was going to be there.
That's
so
right.
It better be.
Right.
All right. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Ann. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Another excellent show, Joanne. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm very active in my neighborhood association, and I know that there are, I think, 7 district coalitions of neighborhood
associations. That's correct.
And I was wondering if the boundaries of these representatives would be coincident with the coalition.
I think it's the reason they originally picked the 7 in the original act, which was in 2002, which we absconded with and changed to the current dates.
Good.
But you have to understand that when you go into districts, they have to connect to each other.
Yeah.
And in those 7 coalitions that you see on the maps, they're separated in some way or form. So they'll be close to that. They'll probably be a little bit different. The state has the authority to do districts here. It's not done by public committees like in other states. So the state will have the ultimate say in that.
Okay.
And it's written into the act that the city will consult the state and the Department of Justice, which stops a lot of the challenges in courts to what happens. Unfortunately, I would like to see community committees do districting like in other places, but they don't do that here in the state.
Maybe that's your next battle.
Yeah. For this
my spouse will kill me.
But I was also going to say that I'm pretty sure that neighborhood associations can advocate for ballot measures.
Yes.
And that, you know, it might be worth it to reach out to them because you might get a healthy discussion about it and maybe a lot of volunteers, because those are, like you say, people whose axes have been gored and who got involved after something terrible happened that was already.
So is there a meeting of regional coordinators would Colleen have to go to every individual?
It's my understanding that the district coalitions meet, I think, monthly, but I'm not positive. But I think if you contacted only the Office of Neighborhood Involvement.
Okay.
They would have the schedule of when the reps get together.
Excellent.
Because that would be a good place to start, and then those folks could then go to their neighborhood association and find out if people have interest and want to schedule
right.
time.
Right. Right. Excellent.
All right. Well, thank you very much again. This is really democracy in action.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it will take community to make this happen.
That's right.
I think that's the message that Colleen right. wants to make sure. So thank you for your good thinking, and thank you for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Have a great day. 503-231-8187. Hello, Dale. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, I'm Dale Feek, and I'm...
Hey, Dale, did we lose you? Uh-oh. But he was just about to get on a roll. Hopefully he'll call back. So again, it sounds like people have had their coffee now. They're all pumped up. They're mm-hmm. ready to help. And people understand the need to make change, right? And so I agree with one of my former callers who said, you don't call yourself an activist, but guess what, colleague?
I know. I think that my problem is I put a post out once that said, you say activist as if it's a bad word. And I think that activists get a bad rap. And when people hear the word activist, they're thinking, you know, the
rebel rouser.
Yeah, troublemaker. And I think that's a bad thing that that's happened, because most people who end up in my position usually end up there because they cared about somebody
yes.
that was having a problem.
Yes.
And that's pretty much the way it's been through history. And that's exactly what got us involved, was the fact that our neighbors, I could have ignored it. It was three doors down. I could have, you know,
right.
that's
just
your problem.
Your lane, right.
Yeah, I'll just stay in my little life and ignore what's happening to you. But right. that's not my character or my nature.
Mm-hmm.
I care about people.
Well, I mean, I think that, again, this is an opportunity for people to get involved, to get engaged, to really talk about what does direct democracy look like, and how do we get a city council? Because, I mean, I agree with you. You said something earlier about we're playing catch up now.
And, yes, we are.
And what's ironic is we saw it coming. I mean, we saw when this city didn't invest in Northeast until the removal of most of the people of color from the community. I mean, you could see it with your own eyes happening. You could see the people coming in and prospecting, buying up buildings.
That's been happening since the 1800s. Albina existed on the northwest side, and then there was the whole redlining, and this has been happening throughout time. This is history repeating
itself. It's like every
itself.
20 years or so, we displace an entire community.
Right.
We're going to try to squeak in one last caller, if we can, and then we're going to give people the website once again. And so, do we have a caller on the line? Do we have a caller, Steve? Okay, hello? Hey, Dale.
Hi, this is Dale.
Hi, Dale.
Hi, I want to announce a very important meeting today at 6 p.m. at the Hillsborough Civic Center in Hillsborough. It has to do with the DEQ hearing on Intel air quality toxic air permit.
Okay.
It's very important for the people to come to that.
Okay.
And so if people live within 25 miles of the Intel Ronra Acres or the Aloha chip-making facility, it's very important to come so that you can have input on the toxic emissions that are being emitted in your airshed. You know, there's 6.4 tons of fluoride, 128 tons of volatile organic compounds, 41 tons of particulate matter, and there's small particulate matter that goes directly into your lungs. You have a hard time filtering that out.
So, Dale, is there a website or a phone number for people to get more info? Because we've got like a minute left. And
yeah, I would say call me directly, my cell phone. There is a website, but just call me, Dale Feek, cell phone, 503-504-5972. I'll repeat, 503-504-5972.
Okay, tonight, 6 p.m.
Hillsborough Civic Center. That's 150 East Main Street in Hillsborough.
Thank you so much, Dale.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your dedication. Appreciate you getting the word out. Have a great day.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Bye now. And do we have one more? Hello, James. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. No, I appreciate the topic. Thank you for addressing this, and I'm so glad that we're having having a signature gathering campaign to help deal with some of this gentrification. I suppose the upside will be that when the Portland bubble bursts, we'll have a whole bunch of affordable housing.
A whole bunch of empty housing where you can just go occupy the housing.
Well, now, right. Remember, though, now, were you living here when the housing bubble bursted?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because if you were, you may remember that the bankers kind of sat on those properties. They didn't do anything. They didn't, you know, right? And so when the bubble burst, the people who, you know,
they were thrown out with nowhere to go, and those houses were still empty.
And the houses were totally empty, right? And so, but that's why we have to change the city council, because if we had better elected leadership, we would have made different choices. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. It'll be nice to see Charlie Hales go, because we won't have all those developers in his back pocket. So.
Well, he can take them with him when he leaves.
That's right. He can go somewhere else and develop it. So
have a great day.
Much. I appreciate it.
I'm out of time. This has been Voices from the Edge. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you, Steve. Thank you all. Have a great day. See you next week, same time, same place, same station.
Thank you.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light.
It is KBOO, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Just about 9 o'clock here on this Thursday morning. Join us in about a half hour for Fight the Empire. Pear is back and he follows up on his show last week and talks some more about banks and debt and how much debt we really have. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre, host Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints, a major protest planned this weekend against Donald Trump and NBC outside the building where Saturday Night Live is produced. Also, domestic workers fight for their rights in California and what comes next in the battle for immigrant rights. At 11 on Between the Covers, we speak with award-winning author Colm McCann about 13 Ways of Looking, his new short fiction collection. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, Portland's Lillian M. Whitlow returns with Lift Every Voice and Sing, an anthology of short biographies of outstanding African Americans. That's all coming up this morning.